Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of creating inclusion in the multifamily workplace. Joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Anderson, a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily educator, and she is the industry operations manager with the National Apartment Association. Welcome, Stephanie.
Good morning, Paul. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. You always bring a lot of knowledge and information for our audience, and today, creating inclusion in the multifamily workspace. It's a very timely topic, what's going on in the world. And let's just get into it. Let's talk about getting a seat at the table. And the industry has some type of a lack of diversity. Let's tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are on that.
You know, I think you see it across all industries, but today we're going to focus solely on multifamily because that's what we do. And, you know, having a seat at the table has always been a big passion of mine as a woman, but I think that we need to take that a lot further, especially given current events that are happening all around us right now. There is a need more so than ever to have more women and minorities specifically in leadership roles. And that is not only within your companies, but also at a national stance. We need that diversity that brings a difference of opinions and perspective that is really going to help move companies forward. And, you know, I have to mention recent events. Let's talk about Black Lives Matter and, you know, that really important movement that's happening all around us. I think that that really was a thought process behind me wanting to discuss this topic of inclusion in the workplace, because I think leadership is going to have to look a lot different now, more so than before. Black Lives Matter movement has finally come to the forefront of our conversations and our consciousness. So we need to talk about, we need to have more people of color on your leadership team. And I don't mean just giving lip service to this, Paul, and I know you understand that. I'm talking about how we're going to build diversity in your organization by ensuring that your practices that you do every day, like hiring and promotions and who's eligible for new opportunities, are not just people who look like you and me, but that they are different, and that's what's really going to make things better.
Well, and I see that across all different industries, because of what's going on in the world right now, you see statements from companies, and you hope that it's not lip service. Let's talk about in the past, people have been silent about things like inclusion and diversity. What are you suggesting now?
Well, I think that it is uncomfortable to be the one that stands up, no doubt, to say we need change and this is how we need to move forward. But that's where it's so powerful for the companies that are standing forward. And I think companies have two different opportunities here. They have an opportunity, one, to their employees and the people they do business with, like their residents, and to make a powerful note and stance on that avenue. But then they also have an opportunity to make a more public stance. And some companies are choosing to do both, or one, or none of the above. And I think that it's worth mentioning here, be anything but silent. You know, really take, you don't have to necessarily take a stance, because I know that that is bold and uncomfortable for some companies. I think you should. But, you know, regardless, I think that you can do it without necessarily choosing one side or the other. But I think you must acknowledge and agree to do better in all aspects. And we can also apply this to something we can talk about, which is unconscious bias. Right? That's just something so simple that all of us happen to do. We all have bias. Every single person has bias, whether we know it or not. And so really just standing up as an organization or a leader in your organization and saying, listen, this is the steps that we're going to take to train our people better and to do better in the future. And I think that that's really important for your customers, your residents, the supplier partners you work with, and your employees first and foremost, because that is very powerful for them to be under a leadership where they feel like they matter and they have a voice that matters. And even though things aren't perfect right now, that you're willing to do the work and put in the time to make it better for them. I have to mention this. One of the most powerful, ads out there, or statements, as I would rather say, is Zillow. And they came out with this very powerful words that says, racism has no home here. And they did that both internally and publicly. And I think that it's powerful because they're standing up and saying, we're not going to tolerate that type of behavior. And this is what we're doing to prevent it. And this is what we're doing to train our people. And this is how we feel about this. And so it's great. But I know that not everybody's willing to take that bold. You know, obviously NASCAR, you've heard a lot about, and they're taking bold moves as well in some of their stance. But I think just being anything but silent is really important here.
Well, you when we were talking about this topic previous to beginning the show, you had made a statement that I think is interesting, and I'd like to tell a little bit more, have you tell our listeners a little bit more about what it means. That the statement that you made was, let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. What does that mean?
Yes. I think that as human beings, we all kind of clam up a little bit when it comes to uncomfortable conversations. And you know me, Paul, I love talking about things that are uncomfortable in terms of active shooters and human trafficking and things that are happening in the world that are directly affecting multifamily housing. I'm all for having those conversations. I love to stand up and say we need more diversity and that I'm all about empowering women. And I know that not everybody feels great about it. And don't get me wrong, it is hard to have those conversations. But I think that us as people and as an industry have to stand up and say, let's all get uncomfortable together, right? Because we feel uncomfortable because everyone's not doing it at the same time and they're not saying the same things, which is the beauty of it. But because you have to stand up and be different from other companies and start challenging the status quo, it becomes very, very difficult to be the only person there to stand up and do that. But we have an opportunity to really get uncomfortable. And it's exciting, Paul, to get uncomfortable and say, I'm making a change and I'm going to make a difference. And so I really encourage everyone listening today is to get uncomfortable. Let's just challenge things and let's start having a voice and working together.
Well, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. I want to at least start the conversation. We have to continue it in the next segment, but let's talk about bias and hiring in our industry. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
You know, for many, many years, I would always say I'm hiring for culture. And that was because any organization I worked for, I strategically chose them to partner with because of the culture that they stood for. That was really important to me because there's a company on every corner. And so I felt like the leadership, the way they operate, how they treat people, all of those were really tremendous value for me, as I know it is for many others. So I would always think to myself as I was going through the hiring process as a regional manager, we need to hire for culture fit. Well, interestingly enough, I am opening up my eyes, and I hope others are as well, to things that are going on in our world, and we're finding that everyone is biased, whether they realize it or not. And so one of the most shocking revelations that I've had this past week was, you know, really digging deep into saying those words and knowing that this will come as a shock to some, but there are many well-known companies out there that follow this same protocol that I spoke about. And when companies hire for culture fit, they are likely falling prey to affinity bias. So that means when hiring teams, they meet someone and they like them and they get along with them. And of course, they think, oh, this person's going to be a great addition to their team. It's more often than not because the person shares similar interests, experiences, and backgrounds. Okay, and that's doing exactly what we're trying not to do right now in terms of helping your team grow and diversify. So it's not that you can't say those words, but you do have to think, are you a cookie cutter culture? So when you're looking for a specific culture fit, are you really limiting your talent pool? Are you limiting opportunity to bring people that don't look like you and don't think like you and don't act like you? Because that's where you're going to find gold.
That's what it means when you hire for culture fit, is you're finding someone who has those similar interests that you get along with well, and that is the way I think in most industries people are hired, at least in the past. So tell me a little bit, Stephanie, about and so tell me about the steps regarding, and we only got about 30 seconds, so we're going to continue to the next break, but just let's start the conversation. What are you recommending when someone is looking fill a position now? What's the most important thing for them to think about to meet this diversity challenge?
Look at the resume and stop comparing it to other people first and foremost. Look at each resume as an individual candidate that's going to bring a certain amount of experience and wealth to your organization. Really important here, Paul, though, do not look at the resume and determine their age, their sex, or even look at their name, because you're judging ethnicity and race based on those factors, and you don't even mean to. Even the most best and good people in the world do this unconsciously without meaning to. And so let's rethink that process of how we're reviewing those resumes.
Okay, that's great advice. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of creating inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Anderson, who's a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily educator, and is the industry operations manager with the National Apartment Association. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Stephanie, we covered a lot of ground in the first segment, but in this segment, I want to ask you basically from the standpoint of our topic of creating inclusion in the multifamily workplace, where do we start as company and as leaders in the industry?
That's a great question, Paul, and I'm so glad you asked it, because what's really important to our listeners is to be able to give them tangible takeaways, things that they can actually take and implement within their own organizations. Now, as we know, we're just going to start to scratch the surface here. So for some companies, this may seem just very basic level, but I think it's important that we kind of start from the beginning. We need to begin by creating change that is sustainable, because sometimes we can get really caught up in big ideas, which is great, but we can't implement them, and then it becomes ineffective tools, and then we're kind of starting over, and it's this vicious cycle. So instead, we want to create this change that we can keep the momentum going on. So we're going to talk about three simple steps that you can take in your company. And the first one really is implementing mandatory training that really starts with the basics of what inclusion is and really why it's important. You know, small groups can discuss strategies to foster it within your company, but employees really need to see from the top down, inclusive behavior is a core competency, and it's something that you're promoting within your company, but you're standing behind it because you believe in it. And there's a lot of different platforms out there that you can use for this type of training, and I won't go into mentioning any of them today because it's really based on what fits your company needs, budgetary concerns, the platforms, technology ability, and so forth. But really come up with training that you're requiring and encouraging every single employee within your company to take.
All right. And as far as the training, starting of committees, that's something I know that you feel strongly about.
I do. You know, really forming an internal committee, which should be comprised of various levels within your organization, should be something at the forefront of these changes that you want to make. You need people to serve on this committee who are going to make the time to roll up their sleeves and truly do the work. But keep in mind, the committee should be as diverse as possible. So you should have members representing not only different ethnicities and genders, but also different business functions and geographic locations, as things are very different, you know, across state to state, region to region. I will say NAA just did this internally. We comprised a diversity and inclusion committee within just for an employee. So this is separate from the diversity and inclusion committee, which serves for volunteers within multifamily on a national platform. This is just internally with our employees. And it's just so powerful to have people to stand up and say, this is what we need to start thinking about and looking at. And this committee can be one that you start taking volunteers on. And I think people will stand up and say, I want to be a part of that, because people love to be a part of moving forward and bringing change to an organization if it's going to benefit them. And so I think that this is really powerful. And a great resource to help you with this is SHRM. You know, SHRM for Human Resources has a solid and inclusivity checklist. That's a great start for you to implement within your organization, and you can find that on SHRM's website.
So if someone out there, I'm thinking of a mid-size multifamily company, you know, who has properties in different regions of the country, multiple states and so forth, if they said, okay, I want to start a committee like this, what are some of the things that the topics that they would want to try and tackle to deal with inclusion and diversity? What would you recommend that they look at?
Well, you know, we kind of spoke a little bit earlier in terms of the practices that your company is operating, like recruiting and training and opportunities for promotion and growth. But I also think that you can start with a lot of the basics in terms of how your employees are treated and, you know, how they think, because let's talk about perception being reality here, that I can assume what my employees are thinking, but I shouldn't do that. So instead, having a committee like this allows a platform for people to start being vocal, because I may not be able to see that there's a problem with any of our internal practices. Maybe there's something so simple as a policy for residents that's in the resident handbook that is insensitive, or it doesn't take into account inclusion within all of our residents. And so being able to start to digest some of the feedback that comes from the members of the committee, and then you have to come up with an agenda where you're prioritizing these items. What do you want to tackle first and why? What is going to be achievable? And again, achievable based on the time constraints Obviously, you've got to make a commitment to do a lot of this virtually right now if you're using employees in different areas, because let's be honest, we still have COVID-19 happening around us and travel is limited for many of us. And then also, is it going to take money from your organization to change things? And so if that is the case, then that's another thing to think about. But, you know, it could be anything, Paul, a policy that needs to be changed, how employees are treated. It could be the name of an apartment community being insensitive and how you look at that. So there's really a wide array, and I can't give you an exact list because it's going to really vary by company. But I think listening to the voices of your employees are going to help point you in the right direction.
You know, I have spoken with different people in different industries, not just multifamily, about when they, you know, want to get a committee and get opinions of people that work for them. And old school, some of the old school management people and executives, you know, they hesitate to do that because they think it's just going to turn into a session where everybody complains. How do you recommend that people, if they're putting a committee like this together, make sure that everything stays positive for to try and reach the goal that you want to reach? And that has a lot to do, I guess, with getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And when you were just talking, the first thing I thought about was the old saying, opening up a can of worms.
Exactly.
Do we really tackle that? Because are we going to, you know, if we're silent, there may be just a few people that are upset or complain or don't like the way we're doing things. But if we start to educate them and open up that said can of worms, are people really going to start going down a negative rabbit hole? And we don't want that. And so I think that for your meetings, especially in the beginning, you keep it very agenda, oriented. You educate them. Make sure that you're providing a platform that's educating them. For ours that we did last week within NAA, we watched a video. And we watched a video that really, looked at the economic views of racism and how the stigma is associated with where you're raised and the resources that you have. And it was a video between very high level, but a video that was just between two friends, one being a white male, one being a black male, and how they grew up, in the same towns essentially, but had access to very different resources based on the neighborhoods they lived in and the color of their skin and so forth. And so I think being able to provide education like that, that's very fact-based, is going to be a great start. But I do think that you have to open up a platform to allow people to have a voice and to be heard. And maybe you put a cap on, you know, everybody can talk, but they only have 2 to 4 minutes to speak, or sign up in advance to talk. But you don't want to filter it. You have to know going into it that it's a risk, right? We're talking about being uncomfortable. And there's going to be times where you may hear somebody talk and it's their viewpoint and it's their perspective and it's that how they're seeing the world right now. And you may find that difficult because you might say, well, there's no way. I don't see it like that. But I think that that's the beauty of this situation. And the only way that your company is going to grow is for all of the individuals within your organization to grow first, right? It's a team-oriented approach where everyone's going to grow together, and you've got to be uncomfortable in order to hit that growth.
We've got a little bit over a minute left, but I do want to ask you about celebrating differences of your personnel. What are your thoughts on that?
Easy, you know, quick way, just high level to do that. Start with hosting an event, maybe a monthly event, where you allow an employee to come in and bring in food from their heritage and allow people to try the food and have conversations. It makes the employee feel included. It gets people excited about, you know, where they're from and what they're doing. And you're talking about things that you necessarily wouldn't talk about on the day-to-day when you're walking past someone's desk. Instead, you're getting to know them on a deeper level, and you're doing a deeper dive into their culture. You can do something like lunch and learn sessions where employees can sign up and share information about their family and where they're from and some kind of fun facts about them. So just make it a priority to acknowledge, you know, everybody is different, and then celebrate those differences and find ways to celebrate them.
Great. Well, fascinating topic. We've got a lot more to discuss, and we are going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters after this break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of creating inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Anderson, a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily educator, and she's the industry operations manager with the National Apartment Association. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Stephanie, I know during the break we were talking about something that you've been keeping an eye on, and that is Color Outside the Lines, a weekly video put on by some well-known multifamily industry veterans themselves. Tell us a little bit about that, why it's important, and what you, how you kind of see that forming other conversations in the future.
I am so passionate to talk about this because it is difficult in general to find companies that and people that are willing to stand up in a formalized setting and talk about things like racism and really get uncomfortable with the topics. And so imagine my surprise to not only find that this topic was going to be openly shared and spoke about in a professional manner, but that it was by three industry professionals. So I felt very moved by that initially, just looking at the group page. It is on Facebook. It's called Racism, Color Outside the Line. This weekly show is hosted by industry professionals and very well-known industry professionals, might I add, Melissa White, Kate Good, and Amanda Macklin. So this talented group comes together on a weekly basis, and they speak about intriguing topics that help to provide a better understanding of race relations in the U.S. Now, this airs on Facebook Live. It's every Thursday evening. But what's so great about it is they bring in guest speakers. So you're not only hearing their perspective as industry professionals, but they typically bring in three speakers as well that talk. And you're able to see them, of course, because thanks to the beauty of technology and you know, Zoom, they're able to show their faces and speak to the crowd. But because it is on a platform like Facebook, there is a constant dialogue that's happening. So hundreds of viewers that are watching this while it's live are able to engage with the conversation. So they're able to ask questions to the panelists. They're able to kind of give their feedback or opinions. And it's fantastic because, you know, the hosts of the show are actually liking the comments and responding to them and bringing them onto the show and so forth. So you feel as an attendee that you are actually providing meaningful thoughts and feedback that are included in the conversation. So I can't even emphasize the timeliness of this in general, but just what it's doing, you know, and what it's putting out there. And to kind of give you an idea, Paul, the two episodes they've done so far, the third one will air this week, but the two they've done so far, the first one was just an open dialogue about racism, just scratching the surface, watching videos about what racism is, and then talking about it. And then the second one, which was really, really great, which how to handle unconscious bias, right? We've talked about that today. And being able to hear the perspective from industry professionals on how we do that, how do we tackle that, and what changes do we need to make as we move forward. So it's really a great show, Paul.
So when they bring on guests, are they guests that have nothing to do with multifamily but can speak to the topic?
So far, they have brought multifamily guests on. Now, I don't know what their vision is moving forward in that arena, but I can tell you so far, they are bringing on people that are in the HR field or in the leadership field or, you know, just various aspects of multifamily. And so that's really great. And it's given a variety of perspectives from the way that they see things, because it's all about this lens, right? The lens that we all look through and how we see the world. And so pretty neat to have various members talk about it. And of course, the host asks great questions. They ask thought-provoking questions to these panelists that make them really, you know, color outside the lines, right? Just like the name says, to really dig deep and think hard about how recent events are affecting all of us and how we move forward with change.
Yeah. Again, it's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Let me ask you about that. If someone wanted to start tuning into that, how do they find it? And again, the time that it's on, and if the previous episodes are archived anywhere where someone could watch them?
Great question. So what they would want to do is go on to Facebook, and they could put in the search box on Facebook, color outside the lines, and it should come up. And it's got a great graphic right when it comes in. And when you click on videos, as you scroll down, they do have an archive of the videos that they've had so far. I mean, you know, they've had almost 6,000 views to one video alone. It is really making an impact, and a lot of that goes to show that people are really intrigued with the topics they're talking about, and they want to learn more, and so they're sharing it within their own networks. And so just think about how that grows over time. You're interested in it. If I share it on my Facebook page, obviously, I'm connected with so many people within the multifamily industry. They're going to share it with their connections, and then it's just this great spiral, that snowball effect that is just growing and growing. And I imagine their amount of exposure is just going to be tremendous over the next few months.
Let's talk a little bit about, because obviously they are doing that via the technology that's available, Zoom or some of the other types of platforms that are out there. And I know that you are participating personally in a lot of different types of events that are done that way. This pandemic that we have had and are currently going through has kind of brought that technology to the forefront. How do you think, how easy or what will it be more difficult for people to start to get a jump on doing taking these steps that you're recommending for starting to get more diversity and inclusion within their organizations?
I think that there's going to be avenues here which are a lot easier in terms of technology being at our fingertips. We can connect with people so much easier than just saying, oh, I've got to set up a meeting with someone to talk about something, and we can't meet until next Tuesday at 3:30. You know, it's more like, I can connect right now. I have a Zoom or, you know, FaceTime or whatever platform that they're using, and I can have a face-to-face conversation. Because I will tell you, when you're having these uncomfortable conversations, and especially in the beginning, it really is important to be able to see someone's face. And I think because body language does speak more loudly than words at times, but I think sometimes it just, there's a miscommunication level that happens, whether it be an email or words or text. And so being able to have that facial connection with someone, it's going to help the conversation be a lot more positive, because you're being able to see emotion and you're being able to see meaning behind what people are saying and how it's affecting them. And I think that that really helps as you make changes moving forward. Now, do I think that there's some tricky parts? Yeah. I mean, you know, I just told you earlier that be mindful of taking a resume and the unconscious bias you may be having in terms of their name or, you know, judging their age or their sex, because we want to be extremely inclusive here. And now we have to go to a platform that we're saying we may not even be able to meet a candidate in person. So let's set up interviews per se to have conversations about someone joining your organization. And you didn't really go out of your way in terms of driving 30 minutes to meet them at a Starbucks to interview them, right? You literally dialed their phone number and you're looking at them on a screen. And so that makes it even more easy for you to disconnect the phone when you become unengaged or you see them and think, well, we're going to keep this interview to about 10 minutes because I don't think that they're going to be a fit. And there could be a lot of room for error there and a lot of room for people to assume what's happening. And so you just want to be careful about that. But ultimately, technology is just so powerful, and I think that we have an opportunity to use it in the best possible way.
All right. Well, that's great. We've got one more segment of this show and this topic. We're going to be back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of creating inclusion in the multifamily workplace. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Anderson, a nationally sought-after speaker and multifamily educator, and she's the industry operations manager with the National Apartment Association. Stephanie, I know that we only have time when it comes to inclusion, diversity, topics like that. It's a huge topic for any industry, but multifamily especially. We're just scratching the surface. So kind of where do we go from here?
You know, it's a great question. And so let's think about some resources, first and foremost, that NAA is providing to our members to assist them during this time. The first is, you know, NAA recently released last month Best Practice on Diversity and Inclusion. This is a great document that starts to walk through guidance and areas of consideration for your business. So if you want to start becoming more aware of what's happening in your organization and how you promote diversity and inclusion in more simplistic ways, this is a great document for you. It is a starting basis. And many companies don't actually have diversity and inclusion policies within play within their organization. So this is going to help you to start thinking about that and really encourage you to start to take these next steps. And that can be found on NAA's website under our white papers and best practices, which is called our operational resources page. In addition to that, we also created an unconscious bias course that is offered on our Visto platform. And this is a course, it's 2 hours, and it helps participants identify and adjust for bias and really start to cultivate meaningful connections to make real change in their companies. So it's a great course to take. It's a 2-hour course. It is good for 2 continuing education credits for those who have industry credentials and need those. But anyways, I highly recommend it, and I will tell you that those NAA members that use Visto are able to take that course free. It's usually $99, and it's being offered this month for free as our way to encourage people to really start educating themselves and to make changes within their company. So I think that those are 2 right off the bat resources that you can start to, you know, obviously get for free, but even more importantly, to help you start having those conversations internally.
And then I'm sure there's some books out there you could recommend.
Yeah, there's books and podcasts. And I started to think about podcasts, and there's so many that I don't even know. I want to scratch the surface on that. But books, you know, there's 2 that immediately come to mind when we're thinking about beginners or people that are starting to have these conversations. One is We Can't Talk About That at Work by Mary Frances Winters. And the other is Overcoming Bias by Tiffany Janna and Matthew Freeman. And both of those books just really start to scratch the surface on becoming more self-aware, really just thinking about what we're saying before we say it. And, you know, I know the Overcoming Bias book, they actually use vivid stories, and they have fun exercises and activities that help you as the reader to start to reflect on your life and try to uncover some of those hidden biases. Because, again, we talked about that earlier. Everybody is biased, okay? And many a times you just don't realize it. So some of the information they have in the book is really going to uncover or help you to self-identify what those are, because you have to become aware of them in order to move forward and make change. So those are 2 great books. You can find them at any local bookstore, of course, or Amazon if you're like me and are not leaving the house much these days. You can certainly use your Amazon Prime to get those delivered.
Well, I want to ask you a question kind of off topic of what we're talking about today, but it's something that you mentioned in our first segment about some of the things that you're passionate about. And one of the things you said was human trafficking. And, you know, I don't have a lot of connections on social media. I have about 3,500 followers or connections on LinkedIn, which you and I are connected on that platform. But you are the most prolific person in my connections, in my group, that is posting all the time. And you actually posted something a couple of weeks ago about a program that's going on, Snowball for Change, within multifamily, that was kind of headed up by Drucker and Falk, Wendy Drucker. It just so happened that I had scheduled her to be on the show right after I saw your comment. And she was on, and it's an unbelievable program that I think is way overdue. And it has to do with not only domestic violence, but also with human trafficking, but also domestic violence, because a lot of the victims of those reside in multifamily properties. And it has a lot to do with training multifamily personnel on what to look for and how to identify issues so that they can get the right resources in place to help victims and to try and resolve situations on their properties. Tell me a little bit about what your knowledge is of that. And I know you have a connection to both of the guests I had on the show, both Wendy Drucker and Bobby Hall.
Small world, right? As big as this industry is, it really is small at the end of the day. I served for Drucker & Falk as a regional property manager for 4 years prior to making my leap over to the National Apartment Association. So I did actually work in the Mid-Atlantic region and overseeing many properties that Wendy Drucker actually had personal investment in. So I am very well familiar with her and, of course, Drucker & Falk. And then Bobby Hall and I went to college together. We both went to Virginia Commonwealth University right here in Richmond, Virginia. So such a great people in general. But I think what was really powerful about that story is one person standing up. When we talk about one person making a change, is Wendy Drucker and her team really standing up and saying, we want to make a difference. Well, then pulling in all of your resources, which is your network. And even though we're all competitors, at the end of the day, who doesn't want to come together for common good? And so to be able to start having other organizations, draw awareness to the needs, not just financial needs. It's great that they opened up their wallet, but it's also important for, this snowball effect to bring more attention to the human trafficking problem that we have. And as multifamily professionals, we are able to really invest more in training, like Wendy spoke about on the podcast. That's really important because we need to stand up and say, how do we help to solve the problem? How do we help people become more aware of it? And it does start with training. And you might be familiar, Paul, but the National Apartment Association hosted a training back earlier this year in the first quarter on human trafficking, and it was free for all of our members. It was a panel-style setup, and we partnered with I Empathize, which is a fantastic nonprofit organization. Please look them up because they are a great resource for you. And they really talked about human trafficking and what property managers must know. And you can, in fact, still access this. The training took place again earlier this year, and you can find it on NAA's website. And check that out. It talks about what you need to know, what to look for, how to move forward, and additional training that you can offer to your team. So it's a fantastic resource, and I really encourage everybody to look more into that. But I will say many of our member companies are looking at internal training, Graystar being one of those, obviously Drucker & Falk being one of those, internal training programs that are more sophisticated for their team members that focus solely on human trafficking. So I think we have a great opportunity here, Paul.
Yeah, and I do want to urge any listener that if you'd like to find out more about what Wendy Drucker and Drucker & Falk and other companies are doing with this Snowball for Change challenge and to get involved in it with your companies, you can reach out to me through the Multifamily Matters website, which is multifamilyradio.com, and I will get you in touch with the appropriate people. Stephanie, I want to talk a little bit about NAA. Obviously, this year has been very unusual, and we typically would have been having the national convention this month, the apartmentalized conference would have been in Boston, but of course the pandemic caused that to be moved and changed locations. Let's talk a little about what's going to happen with that and also some of the other things going on at NAA.
Absolutely. So new date, new location. Our apartmentalized is still happening. It has been rescheduled. And ladies and gentlemen, we are headed to Dallas, Texas. So this year's conference is now going to be held November 4th through the 6th. It's in conjunction with our 2020 NAA Assembly of Delegates meeting. I get asked quite often, why Dallas, Texas? How do you go from Boston to Dallas? Well, that was simple. We had already had this meeting planned in Dallas, so we're just combining two great events that many of our members were already going to be at anyway, so it just made sense. And the hope was in November, fingers crossed, things are going to start to get better. I don't even want to say normalized, Paul, because I don't even know what that means anymore. But the goal is for things to to start to resume being more functional. And so that's the goal. We're holding Apartment Alive. What's really great about this year is we are also announcing that we're adding a virtual component. So this new option actually allows those who aren't able to travel or don't want to travel, or maybe their company's not allowing them this during this time, they will have the option to have the access to the education session, networking opportunities, and other content that's available. And it's really cool because there's even going to be interactions like happy hour that you're accustomed to, and it's just going to be in a virtual format. So there's going to be great stuff. Of course, we'd love to see everybody in person, but it is a nice option for those who are unable to attend. And I should mention that Mark Wahlberg, who was going to be in Apartment Alive, will be back. He's our MC that we have every year, and of course he will still be coming with us to Dallas. So a lot of the same fun that you would experience in Boston, you will now have in Dallas.
Great. And then of course next year in June, it's in Chicago.
It is.
That's exciting.
It is. And that should be cool. We hope things are going to be way different next year. But Chicago is a really great city, and we are really excited to host that event.
So we've got less than a minute left. I've got two quick questions. If someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that? And the second thing is, in 30 seconds or less, what does the industry operations manager at NAA do?
Okay, great. Get in touch with me, S. Anderson, just like my name, at naahq.org. Look me up on LinkedIn, Stephanie Anderson. I love connecting with new people, being a resource, hearing feedback about what's going on in our industry, and just most of all, helping and supporting any way that I can. My job is a lot of content production in terms of conferences, website materials, newsletters. I do best practice documents, white papers. The micro webinar series for COVID-19 was something that I produced, as well as our other webinars. So I am always out there talking to members, seeing what's going on. I do a lot of national speaking as well about things that I'm learning as I go, because why should I hoard it all, Paul? I just love getting all this great information and then just sharing it as much as possible.
Well, I'm glad that you share it with our audience. And thanks again, Stephanie, for being on the show. We always love having you on. We are going to have to end it here, but we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.